brought to you by Burr and Foreman, broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Atlanta, Georgia. It's time for Results Matter Radio, where we bring you pertinent business information and offer real-life solutions to help drive desired results for you, whatever your business may be. Now, here are your hosts, Elizabeth Gordon and Lee Cantor.
Welcome to Results Matter Radio. I am Lee Cantor, and I'm excited about today's show. This is a show that we're going to talk about how Atlanta is attracting and growing new businesses. We got here with us today Brian McGowan. He's the CEO with Invest Atlanta. Welcome, Brian.
Thank you.
And Lamar Willis, Atlanta City Councilman, has just joined us. Welcome, Lamar. I know you're getting situated, so just jump right in there.
Good morning. Good to be here.
Thank you. And also we have Brad Baldwin from our sponsor, Burr and Foreman. Brad's a business attorney, and he's going to give us his thoughts about the business side about how Atlanta is attracting and growing new business. Welcome, Brad.
Thank you.
Let's start off with you, Brian. Invest Atlanta, why don't you tell us a little bit about it, what you guys are doing for folks?
Sure. Invest Atlanta is the economic development arm for the city of Atlanta. So our job is to attract investment, create jobs, increase prosperity for the people of Atlanta. We also have a particular focus on neighborhoods and housing programs. It's critical that you're providing, you know, good neighborhoods and housing if you're going to attract the workforce you need to grow your economy.
So it's not just business.
No, it's not just business. In a nutshell, we like to describe it as business creation, attraction, retention, and expansion.
Is that enough on your plate there?
No.
Is there anything left? I don't think there's anything left. Okay, so tell us a little bit, maybe go backwards a little bit, how the history a little bit of Invest Atlanta, where you guys started, and I know you just rebranded recently.
Yeah, so I've been here a year now. Mayor Reed is the chairman of my board and hired me along with my board to really elevate what Atlanta's doing in the area of economic development, economic mm-hmm. growth. Jobs is what everyone's thinking about
right.
Nowadays. I believe, and the mayor and city council believe that, Atlanta is really an extraordinary place for economic development and for job creation. We have all the right pieces and parts to, I think, really compete aggressively globally for investment. And it's critical that we do that because the competition for investment is more fierce now than ever. Companies don't have to be in a particular location.
Right, they
could
be
mobile.
Anywhere,
yeah.
Right? And how are you kind of positioning Atlanta as different from the Texas or the Carolinas or the Floridas?
Atlanta, Atlanta is a very international city. It's a very famous city internationally because of CNN and Martin Luther King and the airport.
Right.
I think Atlanta is it's clearly the capital of the southeastern United States, without a doubt. I remind people that we're not only a business capital with, 13 Fortune 500 companies in the region, but we're also a government capital. There's a lot of federal government focus here. Obviously, it's the state capital. So this really is a place where there's a convergence of business and government. But from a global perspective, it's much more of a global city than I think people realize.
Right. Now, Lamar, can you talk a little bit about the city's local economy? Now, the T-Splos kind of T-Splatted. What are we going to do about that?
New term there. I will tell you this. Mayor Reed has made a commitment and has asked council to support him in going after more public-private partnerships to sort of move the needle when we start talking about dealing with our infrastructure
right.
issues and so forth. And so our economy will continue to be robust. What we've seen with Brian and his team, we've brought the Porsche North America headquarters to the city, which is a phenomenal thing for us to have accomplished, given that all of the Fortune 500 companies that have come into Metro Atlanta in recent years have all gone out to the suburbs. So to be able to attract a major organization like Porsche North America, not only into the city, but to the south side of the city more specifically, mm-hmm. Lets us know that Invest Atlanta is going to not only spread the city's wings and allow us to soar, but it's going to do it across the board in every corner of the city and do it in a way that I think is very effective. And so we're no longer just a development city where we're building homes and dealing with our economy as it relates to construction. But we're now seeing that we are able to move in a direction that will not only deal with manufacturing, but also deal with IT and other types of technology firms.
Now, can you share a little bit about...
If I can just add a point to that, which is that there really is a global trend of people moving back towards urban areas and cities.
Right.
And so we've actually seen an increase in our number of leads from companies that had actually moved to the suburbs over the past 10 years wanting to come back into the city. And the reason for that is that they have to attract talent and creativity. And young, talented, creative people want to live in cities. So it's a real opportunity for us.
Can you walk us through how that Porsche situation kind of evolved and how Invest Atlanta and how the city worked together in order to make that happen?
Sure. I'd love to take credit for it, but it happened right before I got here. But
the other guy's not here, so you might as well take it.
You know, Mayor Reed actually took the driver's seat on that. And actually, my understanding is, you know, personally conducted the negotiations with Porsche. You know, they there was a great piece of property near the airport. They wanted to be near the airport. We were competing with other cities around the country. Mayor Reed and his team were able to, working with Invest Atlanta, were able to put together an incentive package, but also just sell the fact that Atlanta really was the ideal location, the right location for their business in North America.
I mean, if you think about it, when you look at where they're going, literally, when you fly into the busiest airport in the world, you will ultimately see a Porsche racetrack or driving course that will literally be sort of like our calling card in some respects, in addition to being the busiest passenger airport in the world. So it's going to be, I think, a phenomenal advancement. And Brian doesn't take credit, but I will tell you he should, because the fact of the matter is it still has to be ushered forward. The deal was negotiated, but now it's to bring it to fruition. And so he's still responsible for that, and so we're counting on him to bring it home.
Yeah. Now, you mentioned, like, I think you said tax credits or there were some incentives. How does the average business person even aware of all the stuff that's available out there?
Yeah, that's something I think, you know, we've talked a lot about internally, that we need to do a better job not only, you know, telling that story nationally and internationally, but to our local businesses. So
right.
This year we are going to be, we've actually already started a very comprehensive business retention and expansion program.
Uh-huh.
And so in the world of economic development where I come from, you know, it's easy to focus on the business attraction kind of thing. That's the sexy thing that
right.
the politicians love to
and the
focus.
Good headlines in the paper.
Yeah, the good headlines right. and right. It's harder, more blood, sweat, and tears to kind of work with your existing businesses. But the fact is, you get a higher return on investment if you're making sure your companies are staying in Atlanta and expanding if they
right.
need to.
So you have to nurture them.
You have to nurture them, but you have to listen to them and find out what their issues are and be able to. Very proactively solve issues to help them grow and create jobs. So that's something that we're going to be focusing on heavily this upcoming year with each of the city council members.
So you mentioned international. There's more and more businesses coming here. I know there's, 60, 70 consulates of different countries that are here. You recently made a trip to China. Are there other trips in the works?
Yeah, our China trade mission, which Councilmember Willis was with us, was really extraordinary. And from the perspective of, I had, this was my seventh or eighth trade mission to China for other entities I had worked for. And Atlanta gets a lot of attention when it's in China or around the world. So
people internationally maybe appreciate us more than people in this country?
Possibly. But, you know, Atlanta is a very famous city in China. I mean, there are, you know, I have a lot of Chinese friends who say, you know, all Chinese know about Atlanta.
Mm-hmm.
Not necessarily St. Louis or Dallas or Charlotte,
right.
but they know about Atlanta. And again, it's because of Coca-Cola and CNN and Martin Luther King. I mean, this is a very famous city. And so that really opens up a lot of doors for us. But I also think because of the infrastructure here in Atlanta. So we have the busiest airport on the planet where you can get anywhere, virtually anywhere
right.
in the world from. We're crisscrossed by, you know, highways and railways, and we have this massive Fortune 500 presence. And as you mentioned, 70 consular offices, which I believe is more than any city outside of Washington, D.C.
Wow.
So Atlanta is a much more international city. So it's a great platform to do international business from. So we are planning right now, we're working on a trade mission to Brazil in the spring. our focus is really on small and medium-sized businesses. So we want to help small and medium-sized businesses get a foothold in these countries.
Foothold in Brazil, but also bring Brazil investment into Atlanta.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, so we typically have two tracks. So we bring small and medium-sized companies with us to help them export, and mm-hmm. then while we're there, we use the council members and the mayor to go, you know, meet on Brazilian companies or Chinese companies that might want to either locate in Atlanta or invest capital in Atlanta.
Right. Now, when you're working with a small or mid-sized company and you're taking them to another country, like, what's kind of a strategic way to kind of maximize that effort? Like, is it because they've never, sold in those countries before and they're trying to get the lay of the land to see if this is something viable? Or do you actually help them, you know, put, work out actually there in those countries?
Well, in a country like China, first of all, you know, 3 billion people.
Right.
So for a small business to figure out where to even begin is tough.
Right, it's overwhelming.
And also in places like China, the government is very, very much a part of the business sector in China. And so to have the city of Atlanta and Invest Atlanta put together a trade mission, it really opens doors that are very difficult for individual companies to do for themselves.
Mm-hmm.
The lessons I've learned from the trade missions that I've done is the best way to get results is to put the private sector from that side in the same room with the private sector from our side. They're entrepreneurs.
Right.
If there's an opportunity or a way to make money,
they'll figure it out.
It's our job just to put them together and get out of the way.
Right. Now, how about if there's a country, you mentioned Brazil's coming up. How do they reach out to you and say, hey, I'm thinking about exploring Brazil? Like Brad, do you have maybe clients that are interested in different markets? Would he be part of this? How does that work?
Brazil was a country we targeted, so we reached out to them. It's a growing, a massively growing market, very entrepreneurial country. They also have the upcoming Olympics and the World Cup.
Right. So there's a lot of opportunity.
Yep.
I have a business here in town, and I'm thinking about starting something there. Business Radio X in Brazil. So do I contact you and say, hey, I hear you're thinking about this. How do I get on that plane?
Yeah, absolutely. You contact our office and we'll ask you some questions and make you fill out some
but
forms.
It's that simple, really?
It's that simple. And we're looking for companies right now. So this is something that I think, I tell a lot of small and medium-sized businesses that if you don't have an international component to your business plan, you're not going to survive in the 21st century.
Right.
And a lot of companies say, well, I'm not an international business. I don't do international.
Right.
But you go visit their businesses and you walk around their showrooms or their production floors and you see boxes from Mexico and China and Brazil. It is very international. And I think companies nowadays, if they're going to be successful, they have to have an international strategy.
Now, Brad, are you working with any clients that have international components in them?
Yes, we do a lot in the automotive industry, which was just mentioned recently. We helped not Porsche, but another automotive recently come just a few miles at West Point, and we did the initial trade incentive negotiations for them. So we're looking to help assist our clients primarily in the Southeast, which is our geographic footprint,
right,
including Atlanta, whenever they have economic development or expansion, to guide them through that process, including meeting folks, which would be the initial phase, like Mr. Willis, to explore what sort of opportunities or incentives are available in this particular region or not. And then once they pick a site, to help them develop the site and go from there.
Right. Now, I guess in this economy, this is kind of a unique period of time where we really need everybody, all hands on deck. You have to have the government. You got to have private business. And Invest Atlanta seems to be kind of trying to be a point person in this and try to play with everybody. Is that right?
Yeah, no, that's true. And I also think it's important to point out that the mayor and the city council, I think, have done an extraordinary job at setting the stage and the foundation for economic growth. So things like pension reform, building the city's reserves, increasing the number of police officers to historic levels in Atlanta, all of that is critical if you're going to attract investment. Very difficult for me to do my job if the city finances are a mess and we have crime and issues. And I think the city council and the mayor have made economic development, economic growth, job creation as one of their top priorities. A lot of people don't connect those two things.
Right.
What's pension reform have to do with you know, attracting, you know, new investment. Well, it has everything to do with attracting new investment. So it's setting that stage so that companies are willing to invest their money in the city.
Now, we've seen, like, the film tax credit. That was kind of a shift. They opened that up, and all of a sudden there was tons of films, filming, TV shows, all kinds of stuff coming to the city. Is there anything on the horizon regarding different things like that?
Well, one of the things that we've done, and I think Brian pointed this out, is that by dealing with our pension reform, our reserves went from just a little over $7 million to over $100 million in a very short time since Mayor Reed's been in office. And when you have that type of reserve, what you're able to do is give more money to your investment arm to do business attraction and retention. Without it, we would not be able to create financial incentives because tax credits are great. But I think sometimes, and especially in these austere times, people and companies need actual financial assistance to come into the space that they're in. Porsche North America is a great example, only because not only did they decide to stay in Atlanta and come into the city specifically, but their investment is a much greater investment than they had ever made over the years that they've been here. And so then you look at what Mayor Reed has done with the deepening of the port in Savannah and his involvement in deepening of the port. When you go to Brazil and you start talking about where they're shipping and how they're shipping, initially they would stop in Miami, but if we deepen our port, those ships and everything that they move from some Central and South America will come potentially to Savannah and then ultimately allow us to become a logistics hub, which then allows us to create another part of our economy in a way that we just don't have it right now.
Right. I think that that port issue was something that isn't, I don't think the people really appreciate the importance of deepening the port. Can you talk a little bit more about that? Because it's like you said, if the ships don't stop here in Georgia, they're going to stop somewhere.
Absolutely.
And so then whatever city they stop at, that becomes the logistic hub. That
Absolutely.
Means all the goods flow through that port. So that's an important issue to Atlanta,
Absolutely.
Even though it's happening in Savannah.
Well, in the deepening of the port, what it really is about, and you're right, the average citizen doesn't understand it, but the ships, if you've ever been on the Savannah River when some of those cargo ships are going down, I mean, they're massive.
Right.
But the reality is that they're getting bigger.
Right. They're not getting smaller.
That's exactly right.
And it's the Panama Canal when it widens.
Right.
That's
so
right.
They're right.
Ships.
So that's the kind
Absolutely.
Of the first domino
that's
that
right.
fell that now is requiring us to mm-hmm. adjust.
Absolutely. And so if we don't deepen our port, we're not going to be able to receive those larger ships, which means they're going, like you say, they will stop somewhere else in every other state. Along the coast is looking for their opportunity.
Right, and that's a huge opportunity.
Right.
Oh,
absolutely.
So now how is the mayor actually involved in the Savannah issue?
You know, Mayor Reed has been a tremendous individual from the time he was in the state legislature to now being mayor. And what he has done is fostered a tremendous relationship in Washington, D.C., not only with our legislators, both Democrat and Republican, but also with the President of the United States. And mm-hmm. in doing so, what he's been able to do is generate a lot of interest in Atlanta and specifically, but the state of Georgia generally. And so he and Governor Deal have made multiple trips to Washington, D.C. in order to solicit funds to pay for the deepening of the port
right.
and has been very successful. And in doing so, I think what we ultimately see is we go from not only being the number one passenger airport, but we start moving the dial towards being the number one cargo airport, which is extremely important for us because one of the things that airlines, passenger airlines are doing is they're starting to put cargo on their flights
exactly.
to generate revenue. And when you have 92 million passengers coming through your airport, there's a lot of airplanes going a lot of different places. And it would only make sense that those airlines would want to have air cargo on their mm-hmm. planes. And that cargo will come from Savannah.
Right.
And so
it's all connected.
Yeah.
Everything's connected.
And so once we were able to do that, I think what we'll see is Mayor Reed's continued relationship which, you know, people don't think about. But one of the other things that has happened is he brought $46 million to the streetcar. So that means that's construction on Edgewood and Auburn Avenue area to create connectivity in our tourist areas. And I think people forget that at the moment, tourism still is one of our number one, is our largest economy in the state of Georgia and in metro Atlanta. And so those are the types of things that he's done. And I think we will continue to see as we move forward.
And I think to a larger point here, too, that, you know, based on both comments I just heard is that, you know, and I mentioned it earlier, we're in a competition. against other cities.
Right, and no so one's staying pat. You know, everybody's making moves.
Yeah. And it's zero sum, and people have to understand that, you know, Porsche or other companies moving here have options.
Right, and if they don't move here, they're moving somewhere.
They're moving someplace else. So we have to be competitive. So things like streetcar and the deepening of the port and the opening of the international terminal, all these things are critical if we're going to continue attracting investment and grow our economy.
Now, is there any issue that stands above others when you're talking to companies like from out of state or even out of the country when they're thinking about Atlanta?
Workforce. Workforce is the number one issue for corporate site selection nowadays. So companies are moving where they can find.
So educated workforce?
Educated, skilled workforce is the number one issue.
And then so how does Atlanta stand in that area?
Well, I mean, Atlanta attracts people from, you know, all over the country. So we have, I think, our workforce, we have tremendous skills. But there's a real skill gap in workforce all across America. So it's a real issue nationally that, you know, we have companies that have vacant positions. We talk about this on a high unemployment rate. Mm-hmm. A lot of companies have a lot of open positions, but they can't fill them.
Right.
Actually, Georgia's been recognized even by the Obama administration for some of its very creative workforce programs, putting
like,
people back to work and skills. Well, there are programs that actually move people, connecting the employer and their needs to the specific job skills that are being taught. So instead of, and this again is an issue across America, where you know, we're training people for jobs that don't exist.
Right.
I think Georgia's done generally a very good job at understanding what the needs are of the private sector and making sure that those skills are being taught, you know, in our workforce.
Are there particular skill sets that you see over and over people are asking for?
Not particular, yeah.
Okay.
I mean, pretty wide, you know, wide-ranging skill sets. But, you know, the biggest issue, and, you know, I come from, you know, California, sometimes it's the basic skill sets. It's you know, if you show up on the first day at work, you got to show up on the second day too,
and on time is a bonus,
and,
right?
And on time, you know, and you know, I think it's sad that we've gotten to that point in our country, but that is something that I think the South has an advantage in because there's a very high work ethic in the South compared mm-hmm. to other parts of the country. And there's a low cost of living, and so it becomes a place where companies like to come because it's also, I remind people, I work for when I worked for the state of California, it was the worst state in the United States to do business. It ranked 50 out of 50. Georgia's normally in the top five. And so this is a very business-friendly state. It's a low cost of living. When you live in places like New York and California, which happen to be the two places where we get the most in-migration from, housing prices going up and wages going down. There's a, you know, people, you know, like myself, come into the South because we feel like I think people feel like this is a place where they can get a chance.
Now, when you've been coast to coast and now you're here in the South, how much easier is your job then? If this is one of the best cities to work, some ways it's a lot easier because you have lower cost of living and things like that. But in some ways, it's more challenging because, you know, all the business is still being done in California and New York.
I always tell people I'm not in California right now, and there's a reason. You know, California is a very difficult place to do economic development in. There are companies who are leaving. It's very difficult to retain and keep companies. I had plenty of opportunities to go back to California. I chose to come to Atlanta because uh-huh. I really believe it has all the right pieces and parts to do really big things.
So you see Atlanta as becoming as respected as those, California and New York in terms
yeah,
of...
Yeah, I do. I think Atlanta has, again, I'm here, you know...
Could have picked anywhere.
I'm not from, I'm
You've
not
been
from,
around the block.
I'm not from the South.
Right.
I'm not from, I don't have family here. I came here because this place, this city has just tremendous opportunity for economic growth. And I think in this century, you're going to see some shifts of economic centers around the country, and I think Atlanta is going to be a rising star of the century.
And then, what qualities do you see that you think are going to make it that?
Well, besides low cost of living and being a very business friendly state, you know, we have the busiest airport on the planet. We have 120,000 students in the city of Atlanta, 290,000 students in the region. We arguably spend more on research and development in this region than the Research Triangle Park in North Carolina.
Mm-hmm.
We have seven or eight different economic clusters from health information technology to biotechnology to film and entertainment, which is remarkable to me, the film and entertainment side. I used to oversee the California Film Commission.
Right.
And we hated Georgia. but Atlanta is really Hollywood South. I mean, this is a place where there's a lot going on. Most cities that I've worked in across the United States might have one or two clusters. You know, Atlanta's got six or seven. And so it's really a matter of protecting those clusters and growing them. But the opportunity is just is limitless, I think, in the city.
Now, Councilman, what are you guys up to? Anything interesting? I know the stadium things I read about in the paper the other day. What's that about?
Well, I will tell you that the mayor has been excited about moving the dial on a number of projects, and the stadium is one of them. Mm-hmm. It's estimated to be about $1.2 billion. And the idea is that
what's the vision? Yeah,
the vision is to create something that will be a centerpiece for the city. Clearly, Arthur Blank has taken the Atlanta Falcons to new levels. We are officially 2-0 as of today.
That's right. Exciting game last night.
Exciting game last night. And so for those reasons, I think Mr. Blank, along with the mayor, have wanted to put something that would be a masterpiece that will allow people, when they're watching a Monday night football game like last night, to capture not just the essence of the Falcons, but the essence of the city of Atlanta, to see our skyline and to be able to appreciate all that Atlanta has to offer. And so what we're talking about is something that was originally going to only be an open-air stadium, because that was something that is highly valued in the NFL. But now you're talking about an retractable roof, which increased the cost by several million dollars in a very significant way. But then also, you also have to think about the fact that where they're putting the stadium is right in the middle of what we call the Gulch, which is where the multimodal transportation facility would be. And so you not only have the football stadium, but you have a cross-section of transportation, as well as our convention center, the Georgia World Congress Center. You have the Georgia Dome, which will continue to be in place. And then
it's not getting rid of the dome?
It's not getting rid of the dome.
It's more. We're adding. We're not subtracting?
Absolutely, because I don't think Mr. Blank is going to want the big 4x4s driving through his football stadium, which we are very famous for. I mean, we have great, great participation with Feld Entertainment when they bring those big 4x4 truck shows into the city.
And that's important part, too.
Absolutely. I mean, our entertainment value here in the city is what drives a lot of people willing to come to the South, because one of the things that many people look for when they come into cities is the opportunity to do something other than sit at home after they go to work.
Right.
And we create that here in Atlanta. We create it by way of our arts and culture, our sports venues. And so all of that is what building a new stadium in right in the heart of downtown will do for us. And the only thing we can hope for in addition to that is if we could then bring the training facility inside the city as well.
The Falcons training facility, you want that here too?
Oh, I would love to have the Falcons training facility right here in the heart of the city. And because it's close to Morris Brown, if you think about it, the economic troubles that college has seen and the land that is up for sale, could you imagine the Falcons actually buying a portion of those 46 acres?
A lot of NFL teams train in college environments.
Well, absolutely. And they don't use that old stadium, which, frankly, we spent some of the Olympic money on to renovate. And so I think we have a unique opportunity, and you can say you heard it here first, because no one's talked about it, but that's something I'd like to push for and see the Falcons move their training facility somewhere inside the city. And Brian, I'm thinking that Morris Brown and some of that land that they are going to have to ultimately sell and probably willing to sell would be a great place for it. I mean, when
you
start
guys negotiating
about,
right here?
Right here on it. Right here on Business Radio X.
That's a great idea.
So now, Brian, how do you see like a stadium and the football team building this kind of thing, and how does that fit into the vision of Invest Atlanta?
Well, I think it's an extraordinary asset. As mentioned, Arthur Blank wants to build an iconic stadium. My understanding is it would be LEED certified and possibly the first or only LEED certified stadium in the world.
I wouldn't think so.
But very iconic, and something that what's very important to the Falcons is to show off Atlanta. And I find it very interesting, too, in this day and age where you're seeing a lot of NFL stadiums moving to suburbs, that the Falcons are committed to staying in the city in the urban core, which I personally think that those who had made decisions to move stadiums to suburbs are going to regret those decisions because of what I said earlier. People want an urban experience. They want to be back into cities. So when you got to get in your car and drive, you know, 45 or minutes or an hour to a Giants or a Dallas game,
right.
I think that's going to be a – I think that's going to change again what people are going to want out of a football or a sporting experience.
But it plays into your overall vision of bringing more activity into the city, more investment into the city, more jobs into the city.
Yeah, I mean, you know, cities, iconic cities have certain things. One of those things are stadiums and real vibrant sporting communities, and Atlanta's got that. You add that on top of things like the Beltline and the streetcars, and just last week we announced a RFI or request for ideas for the lots to the north of Turner Field to, again, create a 24/7 kind of fan experience. I mean, these are things that great cities have. If we're going to compete globally, we have to have these kinds of things.
You have to have these kind of things. Now, I know I was here a week or two ago for Dragon Con, and to see that go right down the middle of Petrie Street, that was quite a show.
Yeah, I missed the parade, but I have a 10-year-old and a 5-year-old, and we went down and hung out in some of the lobbies of the hotels to just watch.
That's maybe underappreciated around the country, but that's kind of a big deal here.
And,
in
you know, Comic-Con started the same way in San Diego.
Right,
and
you combine our entertainment cluster we're trying to do. Yeah. I mean, we can tie all this together. There's a lot of opportunity.
A lot of opportunity.
Absolutely. One of the things I think people forget is that we have 15,000 hotel rooms in downtown Atlanta. And that drives our convention and tourism business. And to that end, a part of what we do in the city of Atlanta is we have a hotel motel tax that's associated with that. And so when people start thinking about how do we incentivize and bring business and how do we support business, one of the ways that we've done that is through our hotel motel tax. And one of the things that Mayor Reed has talked about as it relates to the stadium, when we start talking about public dollars being a part of it, I think there's a correction that needs to be out there, and so I'll tell you this here, is that part of where those funds will come from is through our hotel motel tax, which is used for economic development and to incentivize and develop. And so that would be one of the ways we would support the stadium if we did it by way of public dollars. It would be through the hotel motel tax, which is exclusively designed to do exactly what
that would do. And to keep the funds here in the place where the hotels and motels are collecting them, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Right. And I think it's important to point out, too, that's not a tax on people here.
That's when they're visiting.
That's right.
And that's everybody's favorite tax when someone else is paying for it.
Exactly.
All right. Before we wrap up, I'd like each of you to kind of maybe share some maybe words of wisdom or advice about if you're a company. Let's talk, since we're talking about Atlanta as a destination for business, why don't each of you kind of give your pitch about why a company should move or relocate here to the city?
I would tell you that the best reason to come to Atlanta is because of its people. Mm-hmm. We don't have beaches. We don't have mountains. We don't have phenomenal vistas. There are a lot of things we don't have as it relates to those visual aesthetics. But what we do have is phenomenal people who are willing to work hard, invest in the city, and we always win against the odds. And so even when people have bet against us, when they thought we would lose to Athens, Greece for the Centennial Olympic Games, we won. And when they bet against us on so many other instances, we won. And when Birmingham should have been the capital of the South, they made the wrong decision. Atlanta made the right decision, and we will continue to make the right decisions and win. And we have the right economic arm to do it, and that's Invest Atlanta.
All right, Brian, your Thank thoughts? You. That was a good plug for you.
You know, the mayor, he says something that often that I repeat is that Atlanta is a city that fights well above its weight. And so if you look at, you know, the various rankings of cities across the United States, Atlanta, for a relatively small city, ranks with Chicago and Washington, D.C., and Boston and Los Angeles and San Francisco on a number of measures. So this is a city that offers, I believe, all those amenities, but in a smaller, more friendly package. As I mentioned earlier, I'm new to the South, and I want to echo what the council member said, is that the people are remarkable here. I really believe that Southern hospitality is real and something that I experience almost every single day. I think in a day and age where you have hedge fund managers getting rich in New York for gambling and reality TV stars getting famous in California for having no talent whatsoever, I think Atlanta and the South offer something for that real America. I think the American dream is alive and well in the South, mm-hmm. where if you work hard and you dedicate yourself, you can get ahead. So I think just the basic principles that grew this place and iconic companies like Coca-Cola and Delta and Home Depot and others. This is a place that cares about long-term success, cares about families. I was talking earlier about entrepreneurs in Silicon Valley having to work till 10 o'clock at night, not seeing their kids, and building a company to sell it in 3 years. I think Atlanta offers a different kind of opportunity for entrepreneurs.
Yep. And Brad, can you talk a little bit about Burr Forman? Your firm is all over the Southeast, but Atlanta's an important part of it.
It is, and I would just echo some of the sentiments they've already said. I think quality of life here in Atlanta is a very good attraction for businesses, in addition to the logistics and transportation help that's offered here. And I think it's a very pro-business environment. Mm-hmm. Brian can speak more to what other sections of the country are like, which may or be less or more friendly towards businesses. But I think as these two guests here evidence, that Atlanta is a very business-friendly environment.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, Brad, if you could share website information for Burr Forman.
Yes, it's www.burr.com.
Cool. And Brian, if people want to learn more about Invest Atlanta, maybe they have a business that wants to go on one of your trade visits or just want to learn more, maybe tax credits or just kind of have coffee to let you know what's going
Absolutely.
On in their world.
Give us a call or www.investatlanta.com.
Investatlanta.com. Mm-hmm. And Councilman, any coordinates for you if somebody wants to shout out to you?
Absolutely. www.hlamarwillis.com, or you can go to the city's website at atlantaga.gov, and we look forward to assisting businesses in any way possible.
All right. Good stuff, everybody. Thank you so much. We will see you all next week on Results Matter Radio.
This has been a joint production of Burr and Forman and Business Radio X. Burr and Forman is a full-service law firm with offices across the Southeast. If results matter to you and you want them to matter to your law firm, please give Burr and Forman a call at 404-685-4337. For more information and to find the right attorney for you, visit burr.com. That's B-U-R-R.com.